Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, why are people ashamed of being naked? Man is the only creature on earth that covers their nudity. How does man's nudity impact on him? Why does man cover his nudity? Just a little research I did concerning religion and nudity. You're going to start with religion, with about approximately about 32.5% Christian population on Earth. Islam is 21.5% of the population on Earth. Hinduism, about 14%. Buddhism, 6%. Chinese religion, 6%. Primo faith, 6%. Sikhism, 4.4%. Judaism, 0.2%. And other faiths, 0.2%. Non-religious peoples, 16%. Of the Earth population. That's 54% of the world's population, either Christian or Muslim, Islamic, and covering. None of these religions appear to advocate cultures of nudity. Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism. It's safe to say that religious doctrine has influenced many individuals' idea about how they perceive their nudity. Some might say that the nude body is erotic, and for that reason, it should behoove us to cover our nudity to minimize sexual arousal, promiscuous behavior, fornication, etc. Sexual arousal is reserved for married couples, or at least couples in the looser sense. Sexual arousal can cause conflict in relationships if it is perceived as a part of a sacred, personal, intimate social interaction. Once aroused, it is logical to perceive that an individual would seek to have their sexual needs met. This may lead to sexual anarchy, sexual activity without rules, boundaries, restrictions, etc. Some may argue that the restrictions are too restricting. Others may argue that the restrictions or guidelines for sexual behavior or nudity reinforce moral and ethical ideas about right and wrong. Doing the right thing saves us from suffering the consequences of doing the wrong thing. Erotic relates to, just in case you don't know, relates to or tending to arouse or sexual desire or excitement. Is nudity common in primitive cultures? Does the prevalence of nudity in primitive culture indicate that these cultures exist in the early stage of evolutionary development? Is the state of so-called primitive human beings who have not learned or are not psychosocially advanced enough to conceive or perceive the same ideas regarding nudity as contemporary advanced cultures indicative of their existing in a psychosocial, developmental, evolutionary state of infancy parallel to the psychosocial development of an infant in today's advanced technological societies? Existing like Adam and Eve in the Eden, oblivious to any issue regarding their nudity. Or is it that they simply do not perceive it as modern societies do? Nudity in ancient to modern cultures. Aline Goodson says, nudity is a normal condition prevailed through most mankind's existence. Of course, we come in, we don't come into the world clothed. So anything from complete nakedness to casual body covering was a lifestyle component from prehistoric times through the Greco-Roman civilizations and into part of the Middle Ages. Even today, in various remote areas of the warmer climates, naked societies persist as primitive tribes whose members do not wear clothing. Modern civilizations' puritanical laws of decency have labeled unclothed tropical zone cultures as offensive and inferior. Missionaries, settlers, and tradespeople have effectively forced compliance with Western dress codes wherever primitive cultures are found. Enticed by trinkets and modern conveniences, the native populations almost invariably succumb to the customs, clothing, diseases, and problems of our intrusive culture. Egypt, Akhenaten and Nefertiti, Pharaoh and his wife, but also their children and officials went around with too few clothes, transparent at that, or no clothes at all. They practiced nudity in the royal palace, in the royal gardens, and swimming pool, that they loved physical beauty, valued good food and wine, and led a frankly joyful existence. So, author's saying that, brothers and sisters in Egypt, the king and the queen, weren't so, didn't have this Puritanist attitude. Puritanist means that fundamentalist means basically you should cover your body. It's a sin to expose your body out in public. So anyway, so in Egypt, they did not practice nudity in public places, and they still covered. The Egyptian hieroglyphs show Egyptians wore clothing. Not quite the Garden of Eden culture. So they had some concept about nudity, it appears, of covering. They had some concept about covering their bodies. In 1988, the January 3rd issue of the Los Angeles Times reported that the, hope I get this right, Yanomamis of the remote northern Brazilian territory of Roraima, a primitive and naked tribe, are in danger of extinction because the government has discovered gold. And you get in trouble anytime the government finds gold or any kind of resource on your land. Anyway, the government discovered gold and diamonds on their land. The Yanomamis are the largest known tribe still isolated from the outside world. They hunt with poison arrows, and many use primitive tools. They shun clothes, decorate their bodies with fruit dye and flowers, and live under huge palm huts in communities of 50 people. The Tupari tribe of the Rio Branco in the Amazon jungles of Brazil furnish another example of nude living among aborigines. Now that's practicing cultural nudity. To move on. The Greeks, she goes on to say that the Greeks, when they wished to dance or work, they simply slipped out of their clothes and proceeded in the nude. It was a natural thing to do. I can't imagine why you want to slip out of your clothes to work or dance, because you can do both of those things in your clothes. But in Greek, that was something this young lady is saying that they did, and it was no big deal. Now, the word gymnasium is based on the root word gymnos, meaning naked. The gymnasium being defined thereby as a place where one stripped naked to exercise. So they said that that was another practice that they had in Greece. Now, religious and philosophic foundations of nudism in Greek life exist. The Greek gymnasium is rarely presented as a place of general education, which in fact it was. No one thought it wrong that a young Spartan girls should go naked in public dance and procession. The young men who gathered to look upon the events displayed no lust or wantonness. The young men explained that, I don't know, I would have to be there to believe that right there. Anyway, eventually, nudity also became a part of the tradition of the Olympic Games. So, the Greeks' behavior and attitude towards young men by their mentors at the gymnasium from Provocative Thought. The Greeks' behavior and attitude towards young men by their mentors at the gymnasium has been suspect of sexual activity. One might argue, what does being naked have to do with learning? Still, they covered in this society. Continue. The Sakas, a Hindu sect in India, have transmitted their traditions of nudity to modern India through the thousands of exquisite sculptures that remain on the walls of the city of Khajuraho, built about 1000 AD. An art historian, Mok Ra, I don't even know how to say his last name, A-N-A-N-D. Modern attitudes of puberty originating from Western religions teachings are an unfortunate part of Western culture. He said Western people are messed up with this Puritan idea about the body and shame and stuff like that in general, and do not adequately permit enjoyment or open discussion of the tenderness of coital practice. All right, so they must be experts at that. So Japanese nude communal bathing, for example, was a basic fact of daily life until fairly recently, and still exists in rural areas that are distant from Japan's westernized major cities. So members of the Chinese upper class were much more inhibited and even considered their unclothed peasantry to be subhuman. Nudity, even in art, was seen as immoral. The strict custom even prevented a woman of high rank from being unclothed in the presence of her doctor. That's deep right there. She had to point to wherever was bothering her, things like that, but she could take clothes off. So Reverend Martin Wadestone, author of Nudity and Christianity, writes, actually, in the light of the Bible, there was no sin in nudity itself. Adam and Eve were nude and they didn't know it, and everything was good, remember? So that's what I'm just thinking that's what he's saying. Anyway, I don't know this guy, but that's the only way I can relate to what I just read to you guys. So there was no sin in nudity because they were born, they didn't have clothes on. He didn't put clothes on right away, right? But if a person uses nudity for the lustful or immoral purposes, he has misused it, and this constitutes a sin. The Bible does not speak against nudity, nor does it teach that the body is shameful. There was reference to shame in nudity. Adam and Eve got this knowledge, and they became ashamed of their body, and they started to cover up the fig leaves, right? So by this shame was produced in the mind of man, not by divine ordination. So he said, they're saying that God didn't make him shameful of his body, which they were there naked. No problem until they got some information, knowledge, right? Knowledge of good and evil, right? So, this is not a biblical situation. I'm just using the Bible as a reference. Martin Luther, in the 16th century, he's a reformist. John Calvin, a Frenchman who was incensed with the wealth of flamboyance of and moral license of the ruling Catholic Church, became a leader of the reform movement. Forced to flee his country, Calvin received recognition in Switzerland as a founder of Protestant Presbyterianism. He also gained fame as the founder of the Puritan ethic. That's that thing I'm talking about where, hey, you got to cover up from the wrist up, the ankles, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be, they're not Muslim, but they, have the same basic kind of concept about covering up the body. Martin Luther, a German monk, was the father of the Reformation. In 1517, he broke with the papal authority to form the Protestant Lutheran Church, rebelled against what he saw as the moral laxity and extravagances of the Catholic Church and its aristocracy. Luther brought fundamentalist, no-nonsense religion to a ready and willing middle class. With the advent of the Protestant came biblical interpretations which stress as never before the impurity and sin inherent in human body, also emphasized the devil fear. While God was mind and spirit, the devil represents evil and tantalizing body sensuality. They suspected witches were prosecuted and put to death on the flimsiest of heresy. So provocative thought. Comment. Shame of nudity appears to be a learned process. This concept can be learned through socialization, through religious doctrine, family, peers, and community. The question is, if children were never taught to cover their nudity, would they develop the perception or desire to cover? The Yanomamis culture supports the theory that they may not develop the desire to cover their nudity. But that's a society that's up there rolling around with very little clothes on. Nothing. Okay? They still run around in their birthday suits, and it's no problem. So, question is, again, I pose another question. What if God or the Creator encouraged man to cover his nudity? So, going to the Genesis, going to the Torah. Going to Genesis 1, it said, and God blessed them and said, there'll be fruitful, multiply. I'm running through here. I'm not reading all of this. Genesis 2, and the Lord God caused a sprout from the ground, every tree pleasant to see and good to eat, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there's this thing in the garden. Now the Lord took the man, and he placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. And the Lord commanded the man, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for on that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now they were both naked, the man and the woman, and his wife, right, the woman, but they were not ashamed. And we alluded to this earlier, just now, right? So, the serpent, they say, this is being in the garden. We ain't arguing nothing about the Bible. This is just a point, is that this is an issue in ancient times. For God knows that on the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open and you will be like angels, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit, and she ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So they both got this information, right? And both of them eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves and made themselves girdles, something, right? They heard God in a garden, and in the midst of the garden, and they hid from him, right? This is the same God they've been talking to, butt naked, before that, day before, or whatever, week before, whenever last time they seen him. And he called to them, hey, where are you? And he said, I heard the voice. They said, I heard you, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. He's like, well, how you know you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree that told you not to eat of, right? So Adam said, you know, he blamed it on the wife. And then, you know, they blamed it on each other and stuff like that. She blamed it on the snake. And so Adam and his wife, he made coats of skin to clothe them. And he said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So, you know, they had that, you know, same thing in the King James Version, because that King James Version comes from the Torah, the Old Testament. So the question is, whether you believe the story to be true or not, ancient writers, prophets, priests, etc., believe that man existed without clothing until which time he became knowledgeable and ashamed of his nudity. Not only did he and she cover, but the Creator made a covering for them. This implies that the Creator saw a need for man to be. The man has become like God, or one of us, knowing good and evil. They acquired the knowledge of good and evil, shame, and the desire to cover their nakedness, possibly like God or gods. How more evolved can a man get than to be like the Creator, his Creator? That scenario is similar to cultures where children are socialized to be ashamed and conceal their nudity. We can observe that most of the planet wears some type of clothing. And we learn to do that. Kids don't know to put on a pair of pants or to cover or anything like that. You're just born, you know, in your birthday suit, and you're walking around, no problem. Then you learn, problem. You got to put something on, right? So, Jutland from the Jutland Station. Why nudity is not a taboo in the Danish society? It said not taboo in the Danish society. Now, I just talked about two cultures where nudity really not a problem. It's not a thing they do behind closed doors somewhere. It's not a thing they do in special places. It is the thing that they do, right? They're called, or they are both primitive, what they call so-called primitive cultures, right? So here are the Danes, and Miss Anne Kristen Berg is saying it's not a problem. Nudity is not a problem with the Danes, but being naked is not a matter of promiscuity. It rather indicates that many Danes seem to be more content with themselves and less worried about how they look. So she's implying that they're not told to feel ashamed of their. No, she's not implying that. She's saying it. They're not taught or told to feel ashamed of their body. I don't remember being taught that coming up myself, but of how if I'm not perfectly built or anything like that. So she said, to me at least, being naked doesn't mean anything. Alexander says and guesses that the same is true for most Danes. I think basically everyone has this relaxed attitude toward the body, in public rooms at least. They did when asking a group of university students from England and Denmark how they perceived their body, half the Danes said they felt it was just right, but only one-third of the English students answered the same. Danes seem to be more satisfied with their body image, a factor that comes with higher self-esteem. That's not quite what we're focusing on tonight. Body image or shame of one's body image is not to be confused with being ashamed of being nude or feeling a need to cover or conceal your nudity. Children learn to cover their nudity before they learn body types. So-called beautiful, physically fit individuals cover their body types, cover their bodies. Okay, so you could be a person that, you know, is everybody feel, many people want to be like, look like you, but you cover your body, you keep your body covered. Danes appear to be comfortable behind the walls of a public room, shower. After all, you have to take your clothes off to shower. I mean, we do that in college and prison, right? You know, in men's, at least in the men's side anyway, college, everybody taking a shower together. Same thing in prison, you get in there, somebody else could be in taking a shower with you. So at least the men's shower. So it does not appear to be normal for Danes to walk down the street in the nude. Even the comfortable. Okay, I'm sorry about that, y'all. That shouldn't be on. Okay, I don't know what happened there. I said, even the comfortable Danes feel a need to cover. There are people who are comfortable with their body, who cover their body, and there are people who are comfortable with their body who are comfortable not covering their body. So, it depends on who you are, how you feel about being nude. Being naked means nothing if it is a comfortable thing to do for those who have higher self-esteem and satisfaction regarding their nudity. Would they feel comfortable being the only nude person at a get-together? If you're so comfortable, would a Dane be like, come to a party naked? Be the only naked person there. If you're comfortable, shouldn't have no problem with that. Because you go meet these primitive tribes that are their culture is part of their culture is being nude. They don't have a problem being nude no matter where they at. That's where they are. They don't have a problem with their body. They're not even into that. You know, being nude is normal for them. So, you know, maybe Danes have this thing about, you know, hey, you need to, you know, have certain places where they like to be nude. But do Danes walk around naked every day? What about being nude on a date, the first date, in or out of the home? What about the wife or the woman being nude when her husband, paramour, or friends visit? What about when her sons are visiting? What about the nude husband, son, daughter, grandparent in the same scenario? I mean, if nudity is no problem, right, then you shouldn't have a problem. Everybody can be naked and shouldn't be no problem. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so the Danes, they may be more lax, but they really don't have that Garden of Eden concept either. Body and culture. Nudity is considered quite normal nowadays. Cultural historian Maureen, he said in Scandinavia, nudity is definitely considered more normal than other regions. In its early days around 1900, the German nudism or naturism movement was already looking to Scandinavia as a model. I wonder why. Isn't it cold there? Anyway, the only real human is the nude human, he said. The idea behind this is that the real and authentic does not come to light when we are clothed. Naturalness and nudity belong together in this way of thinking. Nudism. The nudism movement in Germany took pains to de-eroticize the body. So that means that they took the pains, I don't know how he did it, to take away you being excited by seeing a naked person and stuff like that. So you got to get excited to even have sex. I mean, because you got to get aroused to have an erection and stuff like that. So and be penetrated, you know, arousal, lubrication, and things like that. So at some point, you have to be aroused by something. Anyway, they said they took that away. They took the they de-eroticized the body, according to nudists. The naked body is not in itself sexually provocative. It's just the way our civilization has taught us to look at it. See, learned process here. Clothing symbolizes a restrictive and constraining nature of civilization. In 1890, it was not only strange to advocate taking our clothes off in order to liberate ourselves, it was positively revolutionary. The fact that the nudism movement was able to gain such a firm footing in Germany from the 1920s onward was indeed a German idiosyncrasy. It didn't happen that way in any other country, at least because back then the nudism movement was also saw nudity as serving the objectives of really racial hygiene and eugenics. Okay, nudism was most widespread in Germany. There are some nudist societies in the United States, but the first one was founded by a German near New York. Now, maybe I'm not saying they had no nudism in Germany, but I didn't see no pictures of those soldiers naked carrying guns and shooting those cannons off. You understand what I'm saying? So the Germans in World War One, World War Two, at least from what I've seen on the real films about them, were clothes again. So what they're talking about is a particular segment of people in Germany here. And, you know, maybe people practice German nudism in Germany, but still not the Garden of Eden type of Eden of whatever they did eat of in the Garden of Eden, you know, pre knowledge of good and evil kind of like environment. One example, up until the 1990s, the nudist movement in Germany and Germans in general thought of the national body as the natural body as being hairy. In the 1980s, the singer Nina caused a minor scandal in the English media when she performed, as always, with her armpits unshaven. Few people in Germany thought that was strange. Naturalness was understood to mean that modifications to the body are unnatural. I can understand that. Because if you have hair under your arms, that's a natural occurrence. The same was true in German in the German women's movement, which rejected wearing bras, for example, the view was that the body should simply be the way it is, not constricted and packaged, but supposedly free. What role does religion play? Even if we don't like to admit it, our relationship to our bodies is still strongly influenced by religious feelings. And we could see that by, you know, some of the religious doctrine. You know, I just read from the Torah and Genesis, right? From the Torah and King James version of the Bible, which is comes from the Torah. So, and it talked about how man, you know, the whole thing about being nude and them being ashamed and getting fig leaves, covering themselves. Oops. And shamed in front of the same person that they was talking to for I don't know how long. They didn't even want him to see him. Oh, they're covering up. Because they found some, they got some information that said, whoa, I'm naked. Okay? So, in East Germany, religion played less of a role, which is also why nudism was very popular there. See? So they probably didn't push these doctrines in East Germany. In Catholic countries, like those in Southern Europe, Catholicism has produced a different relationship to the body. Nudity in public being considered unseemly, right? And you can see that from the Adam and Eve story, right? That's another reason why topless bathing has never gained acceptance in Italy or Spain, for example. After German reunification, the Baltic Sea beaches on the German and Polish border were also the scene of major disputes because Poland's predominantly Catholic population had no use for nudism. Catholic, right? And I just read from King James version of the Bible, which, you know, Christianity, Catholicism, all those have the same origin. Judaism also. She goes on to say, my own personal observation here in Leipzig is that many people consider it quite normal to bathe in the nude. Thought everybody bathed in the nude. Anyway, it had a special significance in East Germany and managed to persist so successfully because it was an instance of the individual's freedom to act independently and feeling of being unmolested, at least on a Baltic Sea bench. So I don't know. Did they take the eroticism out of the being nude? Because if they didn't, they're at risk of being molested. You know what I'm saying? Or heckled or something. Sitting nude on a Baltic Sea bench. The widespread representation of perfect bodies has greatly increased the normative pressure. But things were probably no different in the early nudism movement. Those are not average bodies we see in the photos from that area. The bodies were not as well toned, though, as they are today. Maybe people today, they push, this thing about, you know, forming and shaping the body today. I mean, you have more people in the gyms, you know, you have more gymnasiums than a long time ago. Gyms are very, you know, like, we got a gym $10 a month, Planet Fitness. So, I mean, that's like big business now. For example, the women in James Bond films from the 1970s are very slim, but they have cellulite. Today, they spend hours working out in the gym before appearing in the nude. I'm not complaining about that. What sort of images does nudity have in Germany today? It's because it's become accepted, they say. People who want to bathe or take a sauna in the nude simply do so. That must be a public bathing thing they're talking about. Because I hope the Germans take the clothes off to bathe. So they might be talking about a public thing here. It's become quite normal. On the other hand, the long dominant view that nudity is something quite natural is changing. That's because both the global media and migration are bringing us into contact with very differing images of the body is an issue that will continue to occupy us in the years ahead. Okay, so that is not a new culture or society that is isolated, that is an isolated area within a culture that supports nudity. So in Germany, they appear to have this, okay, we got places where we can be nude. But the German culture, I'm sure if you go over here and you walk down the street, you're not going to see 15 people walking down the street nude. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to go get, you know, lunch from a new restaurant and stuff like that. The German counselor, president, or whoever they got over there running it, I'm sure he has his trousers on, and, you know, a shirt and jacket on, something like that. So what they have is the acceptance of subcultures where nudity is accepted. So that's what it appears to be in Germany. So, you know, that's the fact that they can have these subcultures in their culture is a form of acceptance of being nude. Why people are ashamed of being naked. Now, we just read about Genesis and things like that, right? They said that our shame comes from, you know, religion. This guy, who is this? This is by Ransom Riggs in 2009. Basically saying the religious ideology, doctrine, so forth. That's where our shame and nudity comes from. Over thousands of generations threatening the security of mating pairs. We have chosen to agree that it is a bad thing. Shame is the ideal emotion to enforce that code of conduct because it feels unpleasant. We avoid it at all costs. They did a crazy study. They attempted to break down some of the societal prohibitions regarding nakedness amongst a group of people to see if they could ever start to feel comfortable being naked in the presence of strangers. So they had these two people in Phil and Kat, who have been so self-conscious at the start that they volunteered for this program. They were invited to paint the body in front of them, color coding each patch of skin to show how uncomfortable they felt touching that part of the body. Red for no, no go, yellow for squirming, and green for fine. Phil drew the line at coloring his subject's genitals, but Kat had lost all her inhibitions. Within moments, she painted her subjects completely green, every inch, genitals included. So over a couple of days, the volunteers had unlearned many of the societal conventions that normally govern their life and reached a new consistency that permitted them to be naked in each other's company. What do you think? Is being clothed outmoded, societal remnant, outdated thing, being clothed? Or is it still necessary to protect mating pairs? What do you think? That's what this person asks. Well, so we're talking about all this nudity and things like that. I thought to myself, let's just see what kind of behavior we have, you know, where nudity just is not top of the line thing that we do. It's not really basically accepted. So I went to the top 11 countries with the highest rape crime rate in the world. And this has nothing to do with nudity, but it has a lot to do with behavior. So, you know, when people get raped, they're not necessarily stimulating anybody. They're victims. So, number 11 is United States. Number 10, Belgium. Number 9, Panama. Number 8, Sanskits and Nevis. Number 7, Australia. Number 6, Grenada. Number 5, Nicaragua. Number 4, Sweden. Number 3, Lesotho. That's that African, civilization that wasn't colonized in the mountains and all. Number 2, Botswana. Number 1, South Africa. Okay, from USA, the FBI recorded 85,595 rapes in 2010, while the Center for Disease Control counted nearly 1.3 million incidents. A 2011 report on prison rape by the Bureau of Justice states that In 2008, there were at least 69,800 inmates who were raped by use of threat of force, and more than 216,600 total victims of sexual abuse in American prisons and juvenile detention centers. But we are taught many things after birth. We should simply abandon what we have learned because we have been taught or socialized to behave, think, or perceive something in a particular manner. Belgium, 27.9 rape cases per 100,000 of the population. Panama, 28.3 per 100,000 of the population. Sanskrit, it has 14 to 15 incidents of rapes a year, 26.6 per 100,000 of the population. Australia, in 2003, 91.6 to 28.6 in 2010. It's estimated that only about 15 to 20% of the cases get reported to police. Grenada, the rape incidents per year, 100,000 of the population is very high at 30.6. Decreased from the earlier 54.8 rapes per 100,000 of the population. Nicaragua has 32 rapes per 100,000 of the population, according to Amnesty International's 2010 report. The rape of girls is endemic. Between 1998 and 2008, police recorded 14,377 cases of rape. Sweden, 64 cases of sexual assault per 100,000 of the population. One out of three Swedish women have been sexually assaulted by the time they leave their teens. Lesotho, that's the place in, I believe that's the country in Africa, southern South Africa. The number of rape incidents range from 82 to 88 per 100,000 of the population. The reason why I'm saying all this is that why I'm mentioning this, because I apologize for that. We're talking about being more open with our nudity, and I'm saying these statistics say that's not a good move. South Africa, in March 2012 study, it was found that South Africa has one of the highest rates of rape in the world, with 65,000 rapes and other sexual assaults reported. It comes to 127.6 per 100,000 people in the country. Sexual attacks are common in South Africa. An estimated 500,000 rapes are committed annually in South Africa. So Provocative Thought is saying, these are some places you might not want to exercise your natural tendency to be nude in. I don't think that's going to help you there. And so, I mean, you have to deal with people where they are. You know, someone told me, reminded me of that not too long ago. And you guys want to have a nudist culture, there's some places where that's not going to work, because people with, you know, that aren't practicing that are getting raped there on a regular, frequently. So I'm going to go to the benefits of naturism from the journal. What are the other benefits? Naturists get more vitamin D from exposing their skin to the sun. So if you got no clothes on, you get some vitamin D. Being naked can improve fertility in men, because most modern clothing, like tight underwear and jeans, reduce sperm count by killing nerve receptors. Nudism also reduces the risk of certain infections, as clothes we wear on a day-to-day basis are often a breeding ground for fungi and bacteria. Young people who grow up in naturist environments are more comfortable with their bodies, less likely to get addicted to porn, and develop a healthier attitude to the or opposite sex. I mean, so that's good. You know, but, you know, as I just read, caution, don't throw caution to the wind like that, because I don't think we're not in a post eating up the tree eating. You know, we are in a place where, like, people are very sexually aggressive. As I just read, there's a statistic to you. So, cultures of nudity are best as they practice in them, you know, practice in secure areas, not out in public, because I think that would be a danger to the people who are attempting to practice nudity out in public, just because you all may have de-eroticized the body or your concept of being nude. That doesn't mean that that guy, that girl, or that group of guys, or that group of females have done the same thing. So you need, you know, so you're right to have that in a place where you have support to do it and security to do it at. So if you're going to do it in a safe place, because the world is not a safe place to be walking around nude, you know, like the primitive tribes. They have a community, and as you can see, they're at risk also just simply because they have resources that someone wants, not because they're nude. So, Nudity and Culture, The American Conservative by Rod Dreher. This is 2016. Let's see what Rod is. I'm going to just cut to the chase because we don't have a lot of time. Got like 8 minutes. He did a, they did another little research product, project. They went on a new beach, and then the first female classmate sunbathed in American style. 45 minutes later, they said, the hell was it, and took off their tops and left the guys feeling slightly awkward and titillated. About 15 minutes, when everyone's notion of normal recalibrated, that's how fast the mental adjustment happens. They say about 15 minutes, girl pulls off her bra, tits out, take you about 15 minutes, and there's no problem for you. I would not risk that in the places that I just mentioned to you. Most people have the same experience at nude beaches. It feels weird, and soon enough, it doesn't. Sexual attraction is a force of nature. It is a proper function of civilization to bond it. So, you know, guys is listening. Anybody want to comment, especially comment. We have like 6 minutes left. If you want to comment, please press number one. You know, I don't want to throw any nudists into a loop, anything like that. But I'm sure the people who practice nudism know where to do that at, know to do it in a safe place, and, you know, and amongst people who support them and being that way. So the bottom line, be knowledgeable of your environment, how nudity impacts on individuals in the environment, and how your being nude may impact on you in the environment. Maybe that is why nudity is expressed in isolated areas in some cultures, where the idea of nudity is offensive. This is from PT, y'all. Uncomfortable, immoral, or unethical. It gives those that want to be nude a public place to be nude. A good sign of if nudity is acceptable in a society is the society. If their leaders and the people are clothed, it would behoove you to keep your clothing on too. For those who don't feel comfortable, don't take your clothes off and don't go where you may feel offended by the nudity of others. Yes, nudity is also viewed as erotic to some more than others. It is perceivable that individuals will seek to fulfill their erotic, visually stimulated needs. That's why strip clubs are so popular. For now, regardless of how we enjoy nudity, it's cover your body. Cover your body up, world. Go where it's done at and enjoy yourself. But know where you are, because we do not live in a world that's safe for people with their clothes on. So it's just a matter of opinion, and if you have a religious faith, it's a matter of your belief and your religious doctrine, and you practice according to that. But I'm sure there are people who love their bodies that cover them, and people who know that they don't have the best body, and they don't have a body that anybody's going to ask them to take a picture in a magazine and centerfold or muscle magazine, but they're walking on a new beach somewhere and they feel good about themselves. And why not? Why shouldn't they? Everybody doesn't look all muscled up. Matter of fact, that's not a natural look anyway, the bodybuilder muscle up. Those guys don't even look that way year round. So, you know, so we don't have perfect bodies, and don't be ashamed of who you are. And if you don't like, you feel like you want to lose some weight, go lose some weight. Doesn't mean you're ashamed yourself. It just means you like to lose some weight, tighten this up here and do that here. Appreciate the James Bond girls. I'm sure a lot of guys appreciate them working out before they go on the show, because they're going to be taking their clothes off, so they look better, or they're perceived to look better to some. Maybe to some people, they don't mind cellulite, because most people have cellulite on them. But since you're a James Bond girl, they kind of look for them to be like, oh, yeah, she's a bad joint, you know. So, but y'all know who joint is. A joint is a bad, you know, joint is just a slang word, you know, for something that you see. So in this case, we're talking about a female. So excuse me if I offended anybody by using it slang, street slang. So I want to thank all our callers for calling in, everybody for listening in, and stay tuned next week for Provocative Thought. I want to remind everyone to reach out and help someone, one person at a time. And remember, peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.